The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back with you on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side of the county, and some disappointing yet expected news. I mean, I think that everyone that was paying attention, I expected for this report to say exactly what it said, that for a span of decades, there was a relative indifference that really went across campus lines and went from, you know, the Hill to the, you know, down on South State and back, that Robert Anderson was allowed to operate in relative, you know, with relative impunity, so to speak. And that's what this report says anyway. And it seems to me the report is a concession. And so now the question is, what comes next? What do you do now if you're Michigan? So let's start off first with your reactions to the report. And then after that, what are the next steps for Michigan? Whoever wants to jump in.
As soon as many, many people started coming forward, you knew what this report was going to say. And it was going to say that in the time that this was happening, the sort of trauma that was being inflicted was not taken seriously by a lot of people. We privileged the jobs of married white men over the health of the people they were taking care of. And this is probably a society-wide thing, and the university was not any different from a lot of large organizations at the time, as we're finding out. It doesn't mean that there's not a lot of culpability to go around. There's not a lot of wrongdoing that's happened and that people should reap the consequences, except almost all of them are dead. So this is not a situation where you can go and do a whole lot. And the moves you make are going to be financial to the victims and symbolic. So I think the university has already started gathering names of people who were affected by this person. There's going to be a fund for them. And, you know, there are plaintiffs' lawyers who are making a stink about all this stuff, but I think they're just talking their book. And what the university has done now as an organization in 2021 is about right. I'm not going to say that they've been perfect, but this report they had authored is not the kind of, let's try to exonerate some people, let's try to downplay it. No, it says exactly what happened. It's not trying to spare anyone's feelings. So I think the modern university did what it needed to do. And the old university, the university of the 70s, 60s, 70s, the 80s, cannot be held accountable because they're all dead. And then the one person that we just need to talk about is Bo Schembechler, because unsurprisingly, he got wind of this and he didn't take actions to stop it. So what do we do about that? You know, I feel like the symbolic things to do are rename Schembechler Hall and take down the statue.
What about Canham Natatorium?
Canham Natatorium, I think Brymack on Twitter said it should be Denard Robinson Natatorium, and I'm... They should have done that years ago. And
I'm okay with that.
So let me draw a contrast here for a second and see if it's a contrast that can be made. So in the case of Joe Paterno at Penn State, what Jerry Sandusky did was there was no ambiguity at all. There was no confusion about whether it was abuse or not, that this was rape that was being reported to him, that he decided to sweep under the rug, rape. In the case of Bo Schembechler, is it possible, not that it makes it excusable, but does it sanitize him compared to Joe Paterno to say he thought this was treatment? He thought that this was just, hey, you need to be tougher, and that this wasn't abuse. Does that in any way distinguish him and his lack of oversight here in ways that, you know, you can't sanitize Joe Paterno? What do you think?
I don't think the comparison helps anybody. I think that if you're, you know, what's the point, right? Like there's ways to approach this where you're like, what's going to make me feel better? And one of the things that makes me feel better is to say this person is evil or this person was less evil than this person.
No, that's not what I'm getting. What I'm getting at is you're making an assessment because we're talking about taking down statues and renaming buildings. What's the criteria for that? Does intent have anything to do with it? And if he thought this was treatment, does that matter?
You know, I think
clearly wasn't the only one. Does that matter? Maybe it doesn't matter. In the case of Joe Paterno, this was a crime. He knew he was covering up a crime. In both,
I don't care. I don't care because the comparing crimes is you're already in the weeds. This is about the victims. This is about problems in society then that and problems that continue now, and that's what we need to care about. If someone's coming to you and they're trying to make a thing out of this because, like, you know, Penn State was worse, or Penn State fans like, oh, now you're just like us, or Michigan State fans like you're just like us, don't talk about that. Say, look, Bo knew he could. It was in a position to do something, and he didn't do something. I personally don't care what they do about the name of the building. I don't like building statues anyway. I always said this: don't build statues, build busts, because it's a human, not a god. And that's what happens when you treat people as gods: is that you start to, you know, they're going to disappoint you. It's about what happened to the victims, and I think that that's where our focus should be. And you know. Symbolic, like Brian says, doing things symbolically, if that helps the victims, then that's where we're talking. I don't really care about the comparisons between other schools because we did have something wrong here and we're dealing with it and that's what we should be focused on.
So my point,
go ahead, Brian.
So my point of view is like, I think you could maybe understand why someone from Bo Schembechler's background in the 60s, 70s, and 80s would have the kind of cavalier attitude he had towards what we now recognize as abuse. That is not particularly surprising. You know, if you had told me that this had happened and Bo Schembechler had like really gone on the warpath, that would actually surprise me just because I have grandfathers. I know what people from that era are like. They're not all like Craig, you know?
They're all a lot. Those people are all younger than I am.
But you know, everybody's dead, right? So what are we doing now? What message are we sending now about whether this is acceptable, whether even though we might understand the reasons that this may have happened that aren't necessarily Bo Schembechler's fault, but the society around Bo Schembechler and how he was raised, what are we saying now about what the appropriate actions are to take in these situations? And since I think our answers are not what Bo Schembechler did, very emphatically, that we need to start reconsidering his legacy.
Yeah, I mean, that's very right on and elegantly stated, Brian. From my point of view, from a practical matter, what I would want to know if I was the university is this guy, apparently, Anderson, was fired from the university medical health system.
University Health, UHS.
UHS. He's fired. And the next thing they know, you know, and I don't know why, he's a part of the athletic department. And I talked to, I'll say this, a former athletic director, and he said, I have no idea how he got here. We don't choose him. We don't go and ask, you know, they're assigned to us by the hospital. By the University of Michigan Health System assigns us doctors. We don't say we want this guy, we want that guy. And so the thing that would be most distressing to me is how the heck did that happen when somebody fired him for these exact behaviors and then reassigned him to the athletic department? You know, in terms of Bo, I just don't know. Here's the problem. I had a case yesterday and with two people sitting in the same room about something that happened a month ago. And they could not agree. They were both there. They both were a part of this incident. They couldn't agree for the life of them as to what the reality of that incident was. And, you know, over my years of doing lawyering and so many years there, I've seen so many instances of events that people who were there at the same time saw the same thing, experience it in completely different ways. And so it's when you're talking about something that happened 40 years ago and one of the people is dead, good luck trying to gather anything that you might call truth out of that. I will say this, though. I agree with Brian that, and this is political, that to some extent it almost doesn't matter. We know that this guy was guilty almost he was guilty to 100% certainty of sexually abusing people. And we know the university completely fouled it up. We know that some people in the university completely fouled it up. And it seems likely that some people who knew or should have known that something was wrong didn't do anything or weren't aggressive enough in dealing with it. You know, now, whether Bo was one of those people or not, I don't think we'll ever know. We will never know what was exactly said to him or what happened in these meetings. Maybe John Bacon has a better sense of it because he knew Bo better than any of us. But I think you're right. I think that probably what makes sense is we have to reconsider his legacy almost regardless of the reality, of the truth, which we'll never know.
The transgression here is certainly, I can't think of anything on this level of egregiousness, but again, it's a transgression that responsibility is shared. And so it's why I ask the question. If we are talking about removing statues and removing names, and we remove intent from the equation, if we remove the times from the situation and we are judging them based on today's measure, which I have no issue with, but why not apply that same scrutiny to Fielding Yost, for instance, and what he did with Willis Ward? Why not
apply isn't that Seth's point? Isn't that the point that both Seth and Brian are making? And that when you make, you know, gods or icons out of people, they'll always disappoint you, especially in the context of time. You know,
you can go further. You can go across campus and see Taubman this and Taubman that. The CC Little building has been a bone of contention for.
They changed it
a long time. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They changed it. And the process that they changed is they created a commission. The Regents created a commission that reported to the president, and they reported back their findings and they changed the building. And I think there are more controversial names on buildings than Schembechler at University of Michigan that should be changed. But I don't think that matters. I don't think whether you change one building should matter on whether you change another building. I don't think you should have that conversation of comparing, because then you're getting away. Because then it's just saying, well, there's all sorts of problems in history, so we shouldn't hold anybody accountable.
Assigning a standard to it.
It's so beyond what I can care about. I think that if the victims want the building name changed, that's who I would like to hear from. My opinion on this should not matter at all.
So one thing about Yost is that the Willis Ward incident you are citing is that he agreed to bench Willis Ward as the athletic director when Michigan played Georgia Tech. So, you know, a large part of Penn State's legacy, like we are Penn State, comes from the fact that they were playing a Southern team and the Southern team said, don't play your black players. And they said, we are Penn State, go to hell. And so that's a major part of their legacy that Michigan does not get to share. But in terms of like, can this person's name be on a building? I think that's an entirely different ballpark. Because, you know, this is benching a guy for a game, which he should not have done, to be absolutely clear. But it's not, enabling.
Well, I mean, that's not years the and years only. And years that's not the only example of Yost devout.
Yeah, Yost was racist.
Yes,
and there are plenty of reasons you can go through and find if you wanted to, you know, talk about who Yost was and some of the decisions that he made and who he hurt by his decisions. You are going to find plenty of them. I've studied Yost and read books about Yost, and you know, people who cover him have not, you know, minced words about that. You are going to find problems with lots of historical figures. You're also going to find that Yost did a lot more than you even realized to give Michigan its athletic department. That the reason why we have a huge stadium is Yost. So like you're going to find that with Schembechler too. 30, 40, 50 years from now, you're going to look at Michigan's program and see that they are in places they would not have been had it not been for Bo Schembechler's coaching. I don't think that history is history. Okay, you can't change it by. All you can do is really look at the person and say, are we going to talk about this person as an historical figure who was part of his culture at the time? And don't excuse him for that. Make sure that that's known. So, like, you walk into Schembechler Hall, you should have the Anderson report there and talk about what happened at the University of Michigan and who was hurt by it. I don't think that you don't hide history and you can't cover up history and you can't sanitize history. It's your history. I think that you should not hold people as gods. I don't think that you can look at where Schembechler, and we've done this at Michigan way too long, and say that that is just a paragon of virtue. And I don't think you can do. I think that the virtue needs to be virtue, and that, you know, at some level he did reach our match up at our standards, and we are discovering now that at a very deep level and a very hurtful level, he did not meet our standards. And I think that that's now part of the story, and it has to be discussed when you talk about Schembechler with the rest.
I guess for me, I'm not married to to statues and commemorations. We canonize a lot in society. a lot of people in society that should be canonized, right? So I'm the last one. This is me asking a question that is absolutely going to come up if this topic goes beyond the four of us, which it certainly will, as we go forward. And you're going to have some people who are saying, well, wait a minute, the whataboutism here, if this is your standard for removing a statue, if this is your standard for changing a name, then don't we need to apply it elsewhere? Now, I don't necessarily buy that either, but you got to be prepared to deal with that position, especially from those. You're going to have some former players who come out and are like, hell no, this was not my experience.
I talked to a lot of guys who play for Bo, and I have, for the most part, been pleasantly surprised at how they've taken this. I was way more concerned about having like a Joe Pa element, that where they were very resistant to the university even looking at this thing. And for the most part, they've read the report, read the salient parts of the report, and, you know, say this does kind of make me think differently about him. Now, they had a very different relationship with Schembechler than any of us have, right? We saw him as the coach. Like, maybe we saw him at, like, cars car wash things, right? Like, that was my interaction with Bo. They knew him on a very personal level, and he was part of their lives long after they played. So they are taking that that's an experience that we can't have. There are also people who could have been victims of Anderson, and some of them were, and a lot of their teammates were victims as well. So I don't think it's even fair to expect them to be protective of Schembechler's legacy, because they're also protective of their teammates.
Well, I mean, I think that is an interesting way to go forward, the one that you mentioned about providing historical context. So in the cases where this has happened before, it's always like, let's memory hole all of this. Maybe you don't take down the statue, but maybe you put something on the statue that, I don't know what it is, but it provides the context.
Or there's something that acknowledges this significant point.
And I don't know if that's going to feel good to everybody, but I don't think there's a way out that yeah, feels
you,
good.
You don't just skirt over it like it never happened.
Right. You put it out there and you're like, you know, Bo Schembechler did a lot of things. And some of the things he did were good and even noble. And some of the things he did didn't meet our standards. Mm. And this is the whole person.
Well, I think that's a really good idea, Brian. I hadn't thought of that, but it makes sense. Maybe we should do the same thing with Yost. I mean,
you could put something in Yost Ice Arena that's like, Yost did a lot of things for this university, and also these are the ways in which
he fell down.
He was a different person, and he was fell down on the job.
Yeah, incidentally, the John Behe is the person to talk to about this, because John Behe interviewed Willis Ward, and the tape exists. I've listened to it, and interviewed a lot of the, I think about a dozen early Black athletes at the University of Michigan, and about their attitudes of what it was like then and their interactions with Yost, among others. It's really, it's quite fascinating stuff. And Behe is obviously the expert on this particular topic.
Yeah, you know, there's this saying that goes, if those who don't pay attention or acknowledge history are doomed to repeat it, right? There is a tendency to, whether it's, you know, canonizing or whitewashing history in a way that makes it, you know, makes it more fairy tale. It makes it more of a fairy tale and doesn't give you a true account of how you got there. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
That you brought up, Seth. I think it's an awesome idea, one that I think is applicable outside of the realm of sports, if you ask me. So anyway.
Now, I want to be clear. I am not specifically suggesting putting a plaque talking about the Anderson Report on the statue.
No, it's not like somewhere. No, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I am.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's such a bad idea.
I think if the statue stays up, that's got to, you have to like acknowledge
if the statue
that.
Stays up, fine. I would, again, my preference, and I can't say that this is what they should do. I'm just saying if it was up to me and I wasn't able to gather information and suggestions from the victims who I think should be a part of that, what I would do is make a bust and then put the information on there and include information about, you know, what Schembechler did for the university as well as what he did and did not and did not do.
This is a pretty long plaque, though. This is getting out of plaque length.
I am one of the few nerds who goes around and reads those plaques. I went around Paris and read all of the ones. And they're this long, okay? That's how much you get.
When you walk into Schembechler Hall, you walk into a museum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is a museum, so it totally fits to have some acknowledgement of this on or in that museum. So I just don't think it's a great idea. You know, if you acknowledge, if you can see the points that are made in this report, which it seems like Michigan is doing. I mean, the report. Commissioning and paying for the report, it, to me itself, is a concession. The way in which it was conducted, like Brian said, wasn't one looking for a way to sugarcoat or whitewash it. You could have a company or a firm do a report like that, right? We've seen that. And this isn't that. So it seems to be a concession already. And that being the case, what are your next steps? There's restitution. I don't begin to know, you know, what that looks like, but restitution is a part of it. And then there's the acknowledgement, or there's the process of establishing some a system of checks and balances. So there's monitoring and oversight for everyone. And then there's the acknowledgement. There's the historical reference that everyone that comes after will be able to see. And I think it's a great idea. I think it is a great idea where we're talking about a museum anyway to have that acknowledgement there.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't know if you came in here, you know, planning to put that forth, Seth, but I think it's a good idea. And no, that I haven't seen a statement from the university. I know we got to get out of here. Someone said, has this university made a statement yet? Not formally, but I think the report itself is a statement personally. But has there been a formal response to the report, not that I've seen. Have you guys
The university hired these guys, right?
Right. Right.
So that's to some extent their report. Now, maybe they'll have further commentary. I expect they will, but it's their report. So they're not going to say, yeah, we hired these guys, but they're boneheads. that ain't happening. The report, you know, will, or the response by the university will be, well, you know, here's what we're going to have to do or start thinking about doing.
All right, we got to get out of here, guys. But just so you know, there's been a request. Check this out. Excellent, rational discussion of a topic. Unfortunately, a rarity these days. Long live the round table. Just so you guys know. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right, well, there'll probably be news next week.
It's living long, let me tell you. It's longer than we thought it would go.
And I didn't even get to complain about how we got ripped off in field hockey.
Next week, Greg. Yeah, promise to give you the floor, my friend. I promise.
I'm pissed off about that.
And you got to talk about tennis.
You
got to talk about tennis too, man.
We got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot of
Rudolf Virchow, which I expect Seth to start studying.
I've studied. Actually, no, I've listened to the Mike Duncan podcast, so okay. I'm ready to talk.
Okay.
All right. Folks, we got to go. We got to scoot. Another great roundtable. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the rest of you as well. MSoftballAcademy.org. Sign up, donate, whatever you can do. Be sure to participate in making strides against breast cancer. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. The Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.